Here we are again, the start of another year, 2019. It's nice to be here with you for another year.
Yes, this is our first show for the new year, 2019. Mary and I are very, very, very excited to be bringing you another year of great programming.
And we're going to get right to it. Columbia Association has some new programs and events coming up. And we are going to learn about one of those events right now. Joining us in the studio is Lila Sewell Williams, manager of the Columbia Archives, to tell us more.
Welcome to our show, Lila. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you for having me.
Happy New Year. Glad to see you again here in our studio.
Thank you.
You always have exciting things happening at the Columbia Archives. So tell us what you have in store this early in 2019.
This early. So this has been a project in planning for several months now. I'm very excited. It's actually the inaugural Black History program that the Columbia Archives will be hosting this February. The title of the event is Newtown Entrepreneurship, Early Black-Owned Businesses in Columbia. So the motivation for this particular theme is that one of the four components for the principles of the development of Columbia was to make a profit, although that was the last priority for Mr. Rouse. And of course, that did have to do with the profitability of the Rouse Company and the development of Columbia. Of course, he wanted Columbia to thrive. So, of course, we have all these businesses throughout Columbia and the malls and, you know, all the other entrepreneurial ventures. So this year, we wanted to focus upon, for Black History Month, this Newtown entrepreneurship, being that Columbia was developed with the ideology of being inclusive of a diversity of people and thinking and processes. The archives is always determined to help the community to see that these records are preserved. So what we were hoping to do with this particular event is to not only expose people to the documentation that supports this theme, but also to help people to just recognize the importance of maintaining your own historical record, but then how it is still continued to be impactful in present day. So the focal point, like I said, are the documents that we have in there. So I don't want to give too much away because I do want people to attend, but we have one event that's leading up to the February event, which takes place virtually. Yeah. On January 31st at 2 p.m., we're actually hosting a Facebook Live Q&A. And this discussion will actually focus upon two guests, two are panelists for the program, Barney Putnam, who was an early business owner in Columbia, and Leonardo McClarty, who is currently the CEO and president of Howard County Chamber of Commerce. And so these two gentlemen and myself, purely serving as a moderator, we'll discuss the importance of these entrepreneurial ventures in early Columbia. We all, to some degree, you know, especially as I've learned more being here in this position, Columbia has a very unique start. We're talking about 1964, 63, when he started purchasing this land, 67, when they did the groundbreaking and the establishment of Wild Lake. And it was a very different world outside of Columbia, when you think about entrepreneurial support of Black-owned, minority-owned businesses. So,
can you tell me more about that? What do you mean that it was a very different world outside? Like, was it better here in Columbia? Was it, like, what does that mean? What made it different here in Columbia than other places?
Well, holistically, the ideology in developing Columbia was very different than what was going on in the civil rights movements in the larger America. When you think about Mr. Rouse's determination to have the open housing, affordable housing, opportunities for people to grow and progress with a cultural crossover in the community. Not to say it was polarized like it wasn't happening in other places, but the concentrated effort that Mr. Rouse had with the 6 month of planning groups that came in and talk about all the different fractions of how they were going to develop this community from the people out. We're talking about just 1964 when the Civil Rights Act was signed, and you're talking about a whole nother community that would have automatic or affordable housing. This was not a common practice as far as the larger America spectrum or scene.
Right.
So that in and of itself created a very unique environment for a lot of organizations to grow, whether they were profit or nonprofit. And mm-hmm. of course, Mr. Rouse was later on having the Columbia Foundation, which was the nonprofit arm for the Rouse Company, founded and supported a lot, or at least financially supported a lot of the nonprofit organizations that benefited also the people who would be a part of the community as far as the profit aspect of right. Columbia. So the date for this event is February 11th. It's a Monday at 7 o'clock from 7 to 8:30 at Slayton House in Wild Lake Village mm-hmm. Center. We do have an Eventbrite that you can sign up, or it's a free of charge. We will have the four following panelists, if I can just share that with
yes,
with our listeners as well. So Barney Putnam and Nettie Putnam were early owners of Black-owned business, the Riverboat Raw Bar and Seafood Carryout, which was inside the mall. So their business actually opened the second day that the mall opened in August 1971. And they have a very unique perspective on how their company was able to be established and develop. So that's the Columbia story. Mm-hmm. So it's Columbia and beyond. The success, but also the challenges of any entrepreneurial venture is going right. to have a challenge. Doesn't matter what your cultural background is.
Right.
So we have that Columbia representation. Then we have a regional representation, which tells the maybe the more common story of what it was to establish a Black business during that era. And that is Mr. Luther Sewell. Yes, it's related. It's my father. He's been in business for 58 years as an entrepreneur. So he'll speak about the inside of more of a regional story of development of his businesses he's had.
Where was
several.
His business started? Like
Pittsburgh.
The first one that he's in? Okay.
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And he's still there and still very much so a practicing entrepreneur. But it's just the development of his business. So you'll hear that story because the Putnam's business ended much earlier than my father's. Like I said, he's still in business.
Yeah.
So you'll also hear about longevity as it relates to that. Now, so we have that Columbia local story. We have the regional story. We also have the county story, which, of course, will be represented by Mr. McClarty, who's the president of the Chamber of Commerce. And then we have Jetta Hernandez. She is the chief strategy officer for the 10 Girlfriends, which is a marketing organization, which she's a founder of. So now we have another representation of, and she's in Columbia, another Black-owned business. Mm-hmm. But she's telling that story, but she'll also be representing the Minority Business Development Agency, which gives a national perspective. And that, like I said, the structure of the evening, I always present the archives first. So there'll be a presentation that highlights those documents. Mm-hmm. But the larger story, we'll have a young person represented on the program.
Okay.
We'll have some exhibition of our school age services. Some of our young people are working on materials that will be displayed. Mm-hmm. There's an opportunity at the Arts Center, the Columbia Arts Center. They're working in support of this program as well, which has been outstanding as it relates to how we don't live in a vacuum. And so the other divisions inside of community service, which Columbia Archives is a part of that, they've been a collaborative effort. Mm-hmm. So everybody's kind of working together. But there's also this panel, which I'm hoping will take majority of the discussion, primarily because the telling of that story, even though the documents support that story. So right. that oral aspect, it's the concrete documentation helps to support it as far as longevity, because when there's no literal voice, we still have the documents. But to hear the voice along with the documents really does enable us to have the larger picture.
Right. It brings it to life, kind of say. Absolutely, yes.
With the establishment of Columbia, something that's very clear in the documentation and how Mr. Rouse viewed it is it was always going to be changing. It mm-hmm. had to be innovative. It had to keep up with the times and the needs of the people.
Right.
Like I said, we don't live in a vacuum. And so even though this discussion relating to early Black-owned businesses, I mean, there's still issues that people deal with and entrepreneurial efforts to this day that may are very similar to what they dealt with 50 years ago.
Right, right.
And what I wanted to say is I'm looking at your flyer, and some of these businesses I'm familiar with because I grew up here, so I remember the cleaners, I remember the hair salon, you know, I remember all of that. And then back then, I really didn't pay too much attention who owned a business.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
It just felt like everybody, this was like a place that everybody belonged, You are welcome to live here. You are welcome to start a business here. You are welcome to raise a family here. It was just very welcoming.
And no matter who you were. Some of the businesses that are featured on our flyer, you know, our advertisement for our marketing material for this particular event, they were businesses in the mall. They were in the Village Center. So it wasn't as if there was a particular place geographically where these businesses were welcomed. They were welcomed. And this is just a sampling, of course, on, we couldn't put every business on a flyer, but there were private owned, but there were dentists, there were, you know, real estate agents. There are a lot of organizations that won't be able to be featured because it's only an hour and a half.
Right.
But it gives us an introduction or a continuation, because it's clearly not the first time these conversations have occurred, maybe in private spaces or even in forums. But this also gives us an opportunity for the young people. And that, for me, that's so important, that they understand that there's a legacy that they can continue,
right,
that they don't have to start from scratch, that there's people that were doing this, so they have a foundation to grow and build.
Mm-hmm. And to be able to come and see and speak to them and to hear from their challenges, because we are going through some challenging times right now, and there's no way to hide that. But to be able to speak to people who have already gone through similar challenges or even bigger challenges than the ones that we are facing right now, I think instills hope
and motivation.
And motivation, right. Absolutely. That,
I can do it too.
Right. Mm-hmm. If they had these challenges and they were able to overcome it, you know, I know that we can get through this.
Absolutely.
So it's, I think that it's great that this is happening, and it's a wonderful way for young people to come and have conversations and know that there is hope for better times and that it has happened before. Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's why I do hope that people do log on to the Facebook Live and ask those questions. The questions that we'll be addressing, or hope that people will ask, of course, will be broader, because once again, we want people to come to the February 11th event.
Right.
But it gives even a more intimate interaction for our audience who are participating in the Facebook Live.
Absolutely. And the one thing about Facebook Live, it allows you to tune in wherever you are. You don't have to come to physical location. Even if you miss it, you can go back and listen to it later. So that's always a plus of the Facebook Live. Let's remind everybody of the times and the dates for both the Facebook Live and the actual event.
So the Facebook Live is Thursday, January 31st at 2 o'clock p.m., and it will be on Columbia Association's page. And then the Black History event will be on Monday, February 11th from 7 to 8:30 p.m. at Slayton House in Wildlake Village.
And that's at 10400 Cross Fox Lane.
Is there anything else you would like to let our listeners know before we wrap our conversation up today?
Well, as I always advocate for people to take a personal interest in their tangible legacy. These opportunities to discuss what other people have done should serve as a motivation for what you have done. And the contributions are never too small. I think what happens is we look in media and print media, we see social media, we see, you know, television, radio, and people think, oh, well, what really have I done that would be worthy of documenting or maintaining? And we should never look at our own contributions as so small that they should not be documented. We all contribute at some level in some fashion. So
yeah, you're right. Our contributions are never too small, and they can and they do make a difference.
Absolutely.
And where is Columbia Archives located if someone wants to come and do some research?
So Columbia Archives is located within the building of Columbia Association on Hillside Drive. Our operating hours are Monday through Friday from 9 to 5. We definitely take walk-ins. We appreciate appointments. But we strongly encourage all of our researchers and those who are just interested in the history of Columbia and the documented history of Columbia to visit the ColumbiaArchives.org website.
We thank you for coming in and sharing that wonderful event with us.
Thank you.
I know I will be there.
And this is Columbia Matters Radio, and we'll be right back.
Football is back in full swing, so be sure to tune in to Benchwarmers Redemption to keep up with all the turbulence, turmoil, and drama surrounding the NFL, NCAA, and CFL. What's up with Colin Kaepernick's Nike deal?
If you're supposed to be an activist, then why are you taking a brand deal?
So he's just supposed to forego making money because he cares about a cause?
How about Urban Meyer and his domestic violence cover-up?
It's called paying money to shut people up. The Nazis were just doing their job. I mean, Urban Meyer was just doing his job.
Who is expected to make the playoffs this year?
I'm going with my Sparty Kirk Cousins and the Vikings.
I'm good luck in New Orleans.
I got Dallas.
As always, expect bold predictions, outlandish opinions, and in-depth analysis of teams and players.
Patrick Mahomes is either going to be really, really good or really, really bad.
I think he's going to be trash. In my opinion, the NFL is the only league that's real meaningful football.
Tune in Wednesdays at 7 p.m. and Sundays at 5 p.m. or anytime at dragondigitalradio.podbean.com.
Immunizations are one of the best protections against serious diseases. They aren't just for babies. People of all ages need them. Children between the ages of 11 and 19 are at especially high risk for catching or spreading illnesses that can be prevented by vaccines. Parents, if you have a teen or preteen, they may need several immunizations, including meningitis, HPV, tetanus, and flu. Your child may be kept out of school without these vaccines. Call your child's doctor today to find out which vaccinations they may need and schedule an appointment. Thank you for doing your part to keep Howard County healthy.
Opioids are highly addictive drugs, even when prescribed. If misused, they can lead to overdose and even death. One opioid overdose is too many. You have the power to save a life. If you or someone you know are misusing prescription opioids such as oxycodone or other forms of opioids like heroin or fentanyl, please call the Howard County Health Department for treatment options and opioid overdose response training at 410-313-6202 or visit the website at howardcountymd.gov/get help.
Welcome back to Columbia Matters Radio. It feels like school just started, but we are almost halfway through the school year. It's never too early to think about camp for your child when school is finished for the summer. And we have a guest here today that's going to tell us all about the exciting summer camps at Columbia Association. Charlie Thomas is the manager of CA Camps. Hi, Charlie. Welcome to the show.
How you doing? Thanks for having me.
So can you tell us about what's happening this year with the camps? I know that you have a couple new camps. Can you tell us about those?
Yes, we do have two new camps. Back to the Basics Lacrosse Camp. It's a boys lacrosse camp. We're running 2 one-week sessions in July, and that's a camp where the kids can come, and of course they're going to get the basic lacrosse skills and also work on their speed and agility as well. We also have a new basketball camp, which will be held at Columbia Gym. We'll do 4 different one-week sessions, and that's run through the Howard County Elite Basketball Program. We're doing that with a partnership with them.
And tell us a little bit about the favorite ones that are coming back this year as well.
Well, Nature Camp seems to be one of the all-time favorites. It's we have 2 locations, one at Wild Lake and one at Lake Elkhorn. You have a variety of activities, which consist of canoeing and archery. They have an overnight. They also do various games and activities and, sports games and arts and crafts activities. They have swim lessons and rec swim and fishing as well. We try to modify the games each year because we do have quite a few returners. And we try to take traditional games and switch them up. And so they can do kickball and they can play soccer. And they may do it in a different way, different style. And with enthusiasm. With the camp counselors, it makes it so much better and more memorable as well.
We also have sports camp that are more traditional, like for kids. Like my son loves soccer, and I want him in the summer to not just stick with soccer, but like try other sports as well. And that's where camps like sports camp are very, very good for him, right?
Yeah, sports camp is located at the Supreme Sports Club. We do 8 one-week sessions. We have basketball, soccer, capture the flag, may even have field hockey. We have relay races, just a large assortment of games and activities along with rec swim. We have roller skating, and we also travel to the bowling alley.
One that I'm finding here on your book of camps, which where can everybody find the CA Camps booklet?
It's in the libraries. We also have the booklets available in schools in all of the CA facilities. They can contact us at 410-715-3165. We can send one directly to your home. We have already passed out or went to each of the elementary and middle schools, and we gave them flyers, the one-page flyers that will drive them to our website. And also, you know, feel free to call with any questions or concerns. You can call us on that camp number, and we can direct you and try to help you, you know, find the right camp for your child.
And also, anything in the book is also online at columbiacamps.org.
One that it's catching my attention here is STEAM Innovators. Can you tell us a little more about that?
Well, STEAM Camp, this is probably like our third year doing that. It stands for Science, Technology, Engineering, Art, and Math. And we do a variety of activities with robotics. We have special guests that come in. We do field trips. And we have swim lessons and rec swim as well. So we try to capture the kids. These are grades 3 through 5. And we get them at a young age and get them with a lot of hands-on type of activities and experiments, and they do the traditional games as well. So it's a mixture of education. We infuse the education activities and with the recreational activities, and makes it very unique.
I'm looking through your book here, and I see Art Camp, and I see Camp Cook, and I see Camp Make a Difference. So it's not just sports. I mean, it looks like you guys are really trying to incorporate many different things into your camps.
And that's the idea. We're trying to broaden horizons, you know, offer so many different activities because so many people, they're busy during the summer. We have 1 and 2 week sessions, so you can mix and match your sessions and go to different activities and try different things. You know, with the camps, in the sports camps, we have the Little Explorers Camp, which is for 1st to 3rd graders. And that's modeled after the STEM program. And much like the STEAM camp, we disguise the educational aspect with the fun, creative mm-hmm. activities of camp. So the kids are learning as well as having fun. But as many programs as we can have, you know, where we can kind of touch the kids, because everyone wants something different. You know, we have the middle school camps where they go on field trips and they have out-of-town overnight excursions and rock climbing and sailing, as well as the traditional games and the art camp. And the cooking camp was new last year, which has been a blast for the younger kids. And they've learned so much with cooking and just the proper etiquette that goes on around serving people. So trying to get as much as we can and touch as many lives as we can and find the interest for our demographic here in Columbia.
And I know a lot of thought goes into developing these camp programs. And you all hit the ground running when camp is over. I mean, people may think you just work in the summer, but you have a staff that works all year round to develop these camps.
This is so true. We must have, in order for us to get things up and running, and we have our early bird registration that has already begun, and it goes through February 28th. But to answer your question, we have to have all of our activities and things that we want to include for our summer and for the following summer. We need to have all that done at the end of September for marketing purposes, so we can make sure that we get everything in the schools and the libraries and throughout Columbia Association. So we have to have everything ready end of September, 1st of October at the latest.
And camp, how long has CA been doing summer camps?
We've been doing summer camps for over 42 years. And looking back at the history, it's anywhere between 42 to 45 years. And we do have one program, I think the Camp Extra program, which we call the Campfire Event. It is located at Wild Lake Barn over in Wild Lake, and that's in October. So that's a big activity for us. It's a free event. We get people out to experience what camp may look like in the summer. So we have to get prepared for that early.
Where can people go and find more information, more details about all of the camps that you guys offer, and maybe even register for camps?
You can go to columbiacamps.org to go directly to our campsite. We will have the brochure listed there. You can also call the 410-715-3165, and that's the direct number to our camp office. We can send you a brochure. We'll be happy to talk to you about the camp or about all of our camps so we can try to assist parents in finding the best possible situation in camp for their child in the summer.
And I see here on the front page that it says discounts available. Is that the early bird discount, or do you guys have other types of discounts?
That is the early bird discount. That, like I said, we begin in November and we go through February 28th. But we also have a income qualified program for Columbia residents, people who have live on Columbia assessed property or work full-time on Columbia assessed property, they are eligible for the income qualifying discounts if they are in that range.
And I'm seeing that depending on your income, you could qualify for 50% or up to 75% off the prices.
That is correct. And last year, we subsidized over $100,000 with this program. It's a great program. And this is one of the best programs that we have because it gives us a great opportunity to serve everyone in Columbia. And we feel that we have a great program and some great camps and a super staff that, you know, we really want to push the year-round education in camps. And the only way to do that is to make sure that everyone has an opportunity to attend.
And what are the ages again?
We go from 3.5 years of age up to 15.
Are you certified?
Yes, we are regulated through the state of Maryland, DHMH, Department of Health and Mental Hygiene, and we're also accredited with the American Camp Association. We have approximately 850 camps in Maryland, and we have about 70 camps that are accredited with the American Camp Association, and which is the top association in regards to camping in the camping industry.
Thank you, Charlie, so much for coming in and in this really cold day, just warming our hearts a little bit, knowing, you know, that there's options for kids out there, place for them to be safe, to learn, to have fun. And it's an inclusive also place where everybody is welcome. And everybody, even if you are having financial difficulties, talk to Columbia Association. They're here to help you. They're here to provide a safe environment for your kids and teach them to have and have a great summer. So,
and one camp we didn't mention was
Access to Nature Camp. That's the one camp. It's a camp that's totally it's an inclusion camp for kids who have special needs and special challenges. They do all of the activities that the nature camp does. They do the recreational swimming. Some of them are able to do archery. They are able to do canoeing and fishing. It's a super camp. The kids are really thriving in that program. And, you know, that's what we're all about, trying to do as much as we can for everyone we can. And I feel we have such a great opportunity for people to, you know, come to our camps and we can give you so much value, and your kids will they'll be safe. You know, we pride ourselves on keeping the kids safe and also having a good time.
Inclusive, fun, safe, and learning all comes in Columbia Association's camps. Thank you, Charlie, for coming into our studio today.
Thank you.
And this is Columbia Matters Radio, and we'll be right back.
The doctor is in. Join Dr. Mara Rossman, Sarah Taggart, and Amy Miller this month for an important and gripping segment on teen mental health and suicide. Tune in Sundays at 10:30 and Mondays at 5 or anytime at dragondigitalradio.podbean.com.
Welcome back to Columbia Matters Radio, and we want to mention to you two things that are happening right now at Columbia Association or will be coming up. Right now, the Spirit of Columbia Scholarship, we're accepting applications for that. And you can learn more about that at columbiaassociation.org/scholarship.
And we want you to save the date for Monday, March 25th, and that's the kickoff for the Healthy Eating Series. Join us for a free kickoff event. Meet firefighter Rip Esselstyn, who has helped thousands extinguish their unhealthy eating habits. So again, that's Monday, March 25th, and it's happening at the Jim Rouse Theater. And joining firefighter Rip will be three more panelists who are experts in healthy eating.
And if you want to learn more about what Columbia Association is doing, you can visit us at columbiaassociation.org
Or to check out our events, that's columbiaassociation.org/events.
And you can connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio. Find us on Facebook. Find us on Podbean. That's where you can find this show and all of the other shows that we produce.
We thank you for listening and tuning, and we'll see you next time.
Have a good day. Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.